Statutory interpretation. In earlier sections, we noticed the relationship between the courts and legislation. We saw that the judges are bound by, and legally must, apply legislation, whether in the form of acts of Parliament or delegated legislation. However, it may be that a statute or piece of statutory instrument is unclear or ambiguous, in which cases the difficulty will be resolved by applying some criteria as found in the Interpretation Act 1978, the updated version. This is a general statute which consolidates enactments regarding the interpretation or construction of statutes and provides definitions and rules of interpretation. Among these criteria, unless the contrary appears, are that words importing the masculine gender include the feminine, and words importing the feminine gender include the masculine. Words in the singular include the plural, and words in the plural include the singular. The term person includes a body corporate. Some statutes have their own sections called definition or interpretation sections, in which special meanings are attached to words or phrases used in the statutory provisions. This is because some words which we use loosely in ordinary conversation take on specialised meaning when found in a statute. Definition sections, of the type described before, are frequently found towards the end of the Act. However, if ambiguity or lack of clarity cannot be resolved by such an act, it falls to the judges alone to decide the meaning of words or phrases in legislation. In order to find the way in which legislation should be applied, judges have applied principles for statutory interpretation, which are intended to assist in the proper application of the law. These principles seek to combine an interpretation of the plain meaning of the English language used to draft statutory positions with a removal of inconsistency and to give effect to the intention of Parliament. For these reasons, judges have developed different approaches to the interpretation of statutes, which are known as rules or canons. Some will take the literal meaning of words, others will look beyond the words to try to discover what the law was meant to include. Thus we have the literal rule, the golden rule, the mischief rule. However, the courts are also guided by a number of principles to throw light on the meaning of words which must be placed in their true, not just legal, context, and not read in isolation. The noscitura socius principle. The eius dem generis principle. The principle expressio unius exclusio alterius. The presumption against the ouster of jurisdiction. The presumption against criminal liability. The presumption against retrospective or retroactive legislation. The presumption against derogation from constitutional rights or international law. The presumption against interference with vested rights. In the case of criminal and tax statutes, there's a requirement that the courts must follow a strict interpretation. For example, if after applying the traditional rules and principles, doubts still arise as to the application of a penalty or tax to a particular subject, ambiguity will be removed in favour of that subject. However, ambiguities arising from the interpretation of statutes may sometimes also be resolved by referring to internal aids or external aids. These materials provide additional guidance for the courts to interpret the statutes, to identify the intention of Parliament and the purpose of the legislation.